God bless your heart. What an honor it is today to be in this good church, and what a privilege it is, and a great joy. And we're just thrilled to be able to see all of you dear people. Some of your faces I remember from the camp meeting, and we had a great time at that great event in the church here. I just thank the Lord for you and this church here, what you've meant to me and encouraged me. And thank you, Dr. Ennis, for being such an encouragement to have us back here to be in your good church and to meet your people again afresh on old-fashioned day. Amen. Amen. I know you're looking forward to continue reaping of God's blessings through every part of this hour. Now, take your Bibles and go to Psalms in chapter number 144 and 145. And I'll get there in just a moment. But we are the Caudles, and we're from North Carolina. You can say amen right there, okay? Amen. I could be from Georgia or maybe Virginia or somewhere like that. That'd be awful, wouldn't it? But just to think to be from North Carolina. My. No, my mother was from Virginia, and I'm half Virginian. Amen. I got a little bit of different accent. Well, those Frenchmen up there in Canada, they have twanged my vocal cords a little bit, but I thank God for my wife, and been married for 42 years. Isn't that a blessing? And I'll bring her back someday. You got to meet the greatest woman in all the world, and she's in Canada helping in the work while we're away for a few days. But we're looking forward to, again, to worship you in this hour and through the meal this afternoon. Now, in your Bibles today, we just want to look here, please, in a verse in number 15 of chapter number 144. Chapter number 144 and verse number 15. Now, your pastor said a moment ago, are you happy? Amen. You ought to be happy because your bills are paid. Amen. You ought to be happy because you're not in jail. Huh? You ought to be happy because of a lot of things. Because you're saved. Glory to God. You're going to heaven. And I thought about your pastor, the way that he corresponded with the dear lady back there that got up testifying, and how he correlated with her and commended and coerced a little bit to continue right on. Go ahead, my sister. You know, that's the way Dr. Cycler was at Tabernacle, you know. And I wouldn't take anything in the world for it. I mean, once in a while, some of the old saints of God and the old widows especially. There's about 50 widows that sat in one place at Tabernacle, always got right in the middle of the widows and sat there. And just about every service, one of them would jump up testifying. Boy, they'd take that hanky, boy, and they'd go to waving that hanky. And doctor say, go ahead, my sister. I baptized that one 30 years ago, you know. Amen. And I wouldn't take anything in the world for those old days. But that reminded me of Dr. Cyclone a moment ago when you encouraged her to go ahead and share that word of testimony. I'm still a member down there. I wouldn't take anything in the world for Tabernacle. Dr. Cycle ordained me, commissioned me, and baptized my children. I thank God for all the great men. And you have a great pastor here today that God's given you. Now in your Bibles today, in verse number 15, happy is that people that is in such a case. In such a case. Now, you've heard the phraseology. That man is a real case. Now, here we find that we have a word, happy, mentioned two times in this verse. Now, I want you to see it's broken up in two phrases. The latter part, we have a colon here, then a yea, and evidently David in a comma after the yea, he got in a good happy spell himself. He said, yes, amen. And he said, happy is that people whose God is the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. And I emphasize that. And it's not the little capital L-O-R-D, but all capitals all the way through, meaning to you and I of our relationship with the Lord in the family of God, in the purpose of God, the plan of God, and the design of God in our life, and what he's done in the economy of the local church and through saving us. And so the word Lord there, you keep it in mind, it's more than a title. It's more, my friend, just a phrase of a person, of the personality of God, but it has to do with our personal relationship with the Lord and our daily serving him and his relationship with us as we pray and go forward, unfolding the will of God for our life and serving him. But I want you to see here this word happy mentioned two times in this verse. Very important to emphasize that, and you mark it in your Bible there. The first phrase has to do with chapter number 144 and the content of that chapter there. And the second happy has to do in the reference to chapter number 145 of the content and the knowledge and the revelation that God's given to us about his people. Now in chapter number 145 is all about God. Nothing about David. It's all about God all the way through. And it's what God says about himself. And my friend, that makes me want to look a little bit deeper and tune in a little bit better when I know God is totally doing all the speaking, kind of like the red letters of the speaking of our Lord in the New Testament. And here we find this chapter, God's begin to step out a little bit and said, I want to talk a little bit about myself a while. So the first word happy here has to do with chapter number 144. And the word happy here means straight. It means level. It means balance. The child of God is walking the straight and narrow way. And he's to be level in his Christian life. He's to be balanced in all of his endeavor, all of his service, and all of his testimony, and all of his walk is to be balanced. And all of his serving God is to have a balanced view, a balanced walk, and a balanced unfolding of all of his life. And so if a person is in that degree, has a view and a walk and a service with God, he's going to be a happy creature. I promise you that. Now, what makes a man happy? Two things. He has a physical realm about him, and he has a spiritual realm about him. Now, the unsaved, they don't know that. They don't understand they're missing the spiritual relationship with the Almighty God. God created all of us, yet we're fallen creatures, but we must come to the understanding and the knowledge of the truth that we need to be saved and that we have two necessities in our life. Number one, we have the physical realm about our life, the natural things, the earthly things, to make us happy. Unless we have those things, we're just not going to be happy people. I promise you that. And in chapter number 144, it has to do with the physical realm of our life in this world that God does bless us in areas to meet our needs that we can be happy people. And God has to do that. And I believe that God has done that. And God will continue to do that as you trust him, as you believe in him. Let's just look at a few of these. And we'll look at the spiritual realm in chapter number 145. But first of all, just a few very quickly in chapter 144. I don't have time to go through all of those, but we'll just drop down to verse number 11 very quickly here. Number one, I see here that God will bless us in our physical realm by, my friend, forbidding the foes from overtaking our life. The foes in our life, rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, and whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. God have mercy. We don't want to fall into the hands of the adversary. He's always prowling around to try to overtake us and browbeat us and get us discouraged and defeat us. And his children are everywhere in this world in the childlike, you might say, way to deceive us. And the children of vanity and God has delivered us, and God will deliver us from the foes of this world. I have to be, especially in Canada. We have foes from every angle and strongholds. You know nothing about in America here. I had to learn them. And you know them on your job, in your community, in your life, your walk. And God has promised us that he will rid us, and he will deliver us. We find that word deliver there in that verse, deliver. And we have that word that whose mouth speaketh vanity and their right hand is a hand of falsehood. We don't want to be a part of any falsehood. Then number two, we want God not to only to bless us from our foes and keep us safe, but our family. In verse number 12, for us to be happy, we have to be delivered from our foes, from the evil one, the wicked one, the devil himself. And then we must have blessings from our family, amen, where God has to come and bring our family in harmony and sweetness and joy and music and working together and press it on. Have the salvation of God to be in our midst and God to be glorified, God to be number one in the hearts of our children. Unless that's them, we're just not happy as God's people. That's a physical thing that God has to bless me with. He has to bless their health and their security and all the evilness around them, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished. And that talks about grown up. We want our children to be grown up. You know, it's one thing to be a child, but it's another thing for a child to be grown up. I've seen a lot of children not grown up on their age, but we want our children from the very time of conception, even at birth, and through all the stages of their maturity, we want them to be grown up, to be able to face, my friend, the potential of deception around them. We want them to overcome, and we want them to set the pace of other children and win the loss and be a witness and a testimony. Grown up in their youth, and our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished the magnitude there after the similitude of the palace. We want our children to stand out. That's right. We want them to have the touch of God upon them, the glory of God upon them, the haven of God's goodness and grace in their lives. And so we have to have that in our families and our wives and our husbands and have the blessings of God. Then we want to have, and we have to have, we desire to have, and God knows we have to have food. Amen. In verse number 13, that our gardeners may be full, affording all manner of, the Bible here says, of store. And so, therefore, we got to have the supply of the natural food consumption in our body. And brother, you get hungry after a while, and God knows that, and God supplies, and God will send the ravens if he has to. Don't worry about it, even in this day. God knows all about the administration up there, and he knows what's going on. And God's not scratching his head up there wondering what's happening. And God will supply the food in your life. God knows you have to have of that to be happy, amen. God knows the foes have to be backed up. He knows, my friend, that your family has to be blessed. He knows the food has to be in the cupboards. And what woman, what wife would that be? What mother would it be to be happy to look in the cupboards and to be empty there and not see the supply, the provision for the family? You couldn't find a mother would ever be happy or a wife to be happy without the food principles of the home. Don't you see here, not only, my friend, that, but the fruit of our labor. If you look here, please, it says that our sheep may bring for thousands and ten thousands in our street. And we need to see that. And I don't think unless we are productive and reproductive as a Christian in our life, even in our labor and laborship in the world, no way that I can be happy. We must have a mind of ingenuity, invention. And that's the kind of people that Americans are. Amen? That's the kind of people God's people are. We all accept the pace for others to see that we are fruitful in our labor. And then we find here, and if you look, please, in verse number 14, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in, no going out, that there be no complaining. God have mercy. God does not want us to be like the children of Israel after the law. Even before the law, they begin to complain and murmur about how God was handling the issues of their life and the providing and the Godship of their life and the control. God knew all, but they were just murmuring all the time, and there'd be no complaining, no going out, and no coming in, searching and looking. No, always God is there to supply, to make us happy. Now, that's just a few things in this chapter here, but let's very quickly go into chapter 145. I want to give you eight things about our spiritual life. The Bible says here, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Now, I want you to look at that, please. Now, my friend, we're not going to have an argument today if God became Lord in your life. In Acts 16, I know it says, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to get into debate and argument if God became Lord in your life the day you got saved. And some say he did, and some say he don't. I'm not going to argue about it. I think in some degree he did, but in some degree we had to grow in grace and commit our life. I know that too. I don't believe in second work of grace either. But anyway, the Bible very clearly says, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Now, is the important thing, is he Lord in your life today? Amen. Do you know he's Lord in your life? Do you have a heart that pants after him to be Lord and control? And he brings the necessities and the acquaintance of his love and security that you need to have and the comfort of all the trials you're facing. Is he that kind of Lord that conquers all of your enemies out there, spiritually speaking, dynamically and mechanically, to take them down, that you may be triumphant in your Christian life and serve him and do what God's called you to do. Amen. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen. In other words, it suggests to me that you can be saved and have God and know God. Here, capital G, my friend, always. And not God allow him and him not to be Lord in your life here. Now, let's look here, please, eight things in this chapter. And you'll find the terminology or the title or the relationship in this name Lord here mentioned eight times in this chapter. And all eight times, it's capital L-O-R-D. Now, look at verse number one. And here we find that in this chapter, there are eight spiritual relationships that God wants to have with his people. And if you will consume and you feel, if you will be in reception and be recipient of this particular spiritual relationship that God wants to have with you in this world, walking with him, it'll help you, motivate you, press you on in your Christian life. You see, friend, we don't have camp meetings in Canada. We don't have revival meetings per se, and maybe once in a while, spasmodically. We don't have singing groups in Canada that go from church to church. Not that I'm all for that. We don't have one evangelist in Canada at all. We don't have what you have down here to motivate you, to encourage you, and I'm not jealous. I'm not envious of you. I'm an American, but I've been away 30 years. God has to be Lord of my life in Canada. If you don't, you just don't make it. You can't survive. I mean, the enemy is too strong. Sin is too daring, too alluring, and demonic power is too forceful. God has to be Lord. Or you just don't. That's the reason why Canada is a graveyard for missionaries and preachers up there. And I've seen several be put in jail and be divorced. It's bad. It's sad. But I'm just saying here tonight, there's things that God wants to give us that supply all of our needs, spiritually speaking, and bless us. And his person, office, and work in our life, no matter where we may find ourselves in this world of serving him, he's able, amen, to complete and fulfill his will in our life. We can have a camp meeting anytime we want to with just having God there, amen. Amen. God can bring music from heaven. God can bring an evangelist from heaven, amen. God can set things about, amen. God can set in motion whatever he wants to in our life because he's Lord, amen. Amen. Blessed. Is that people whose God is the Lord, amen? And so, in the supplying of our need, my God supply all your need. The Lord is my shepherd, and young lions, my friend, they lack and suffer, my friend. But here we find, talking about the spiritual need, and that, may I say to you that man shall not live by bread alone. You must have spiritual life with God. He that spareth not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how should he not also with him freely give us all things? Amen? And so God wants to give you freely all things, the abundant life in this world. I'm glad for that. I want that. Whatever it takes, whatever I got to go through with, God help me. I don't want to be bragging. I don't want to be boasting. But God help me to receive all that you have given to me in the redemption, in the atonement, amen, in the crucifixion, and the fulfillment of all that salvation has bought for me in Christ. I want it, God. Above all else, I want it to be executed in my life. I want to see it work in my life. I want to see God come forth in resurrection in my life, amen. I want to see God's power in my life, amen. I want to see God save people. Establish people, call people, and Jesus may be glorified. Amen. I believe that with all my heart, and I want that more than anything in the world. Let's quickly go on now. In verse number one here, David says, because of that, he makes me happy, thank God. I will extol thee, amen. David says in the affirmative then, I will. Nobody's going to hold me back. If you don't shout, if you don't praise God, if you don't bless the Lord, if you don't extol the Lord, David said to sit down, I will, amen. I'm going to do it. Amen. Amen. Just part the way. I'm coming through. I'm going to do something, some way, somehow, to break out every once in a while. That's what Dr. Cycler said. Dr. Harold B. Cycler said, it's always in order to bless the Lord. Amen. Always in order, no matter where you are, what you're doing. Always just in once in a while, just break out. Amen. And bless the Lord. And David said, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Here's an earthly relationship of blessing the Lord and an eternal Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and forever. David said, every day I will bless thee. Amen. Not a day will go. I won't remember the goodness of God. I'll be thankful and lowly before my God of the blessings that come to my way. I know God only can do that. How could the goodness and the blessings come my way unless heaven has smiled upon me? No way. And so we find here in verse number one, we have the first truth about who God is in nature. And number one here, that God wants you to know about himself and what God says about himself more than any other thing in all the Word of God. I believe that. The Bible says that God's love, that's wonderful, that's great. Boy, we need that, amen. God so loved the world, amen. We wouldn't have been saved. But after you're saved, my friend, God wants you to know something about him and establish it real good in your heart. It'll make that love to be more sweeter and more securely and more fragrantly. And I mean more real in your life, amen, when you learn about this great reality about God today in your life. Number one, great is the Lord. God wants you to know that about him more than anything in all the world, amen. The Bible says, and greatly to be praised. God is absolute, amen. God is final, amen. If God is not absolute, my friend, then our outward circumstances would thwart his love in our life. Yes, it would mix it up. It would just turn it upside down. But I'm glad, thank God. God knows all about what's going on in my life. It's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore, my friend. A thorough understanding of the greatness of God gives life meaning, my friend. Reality of God and nearness of God to me when I know how great God is. You've heard the old thought and saying so much in your life, dear people. You know, we make our problems so big that encompasses God to be so small. And that's so true. I believe we magnify our life and our problems. We talk about them and we holler them down through the street and on the phone. And we want everybody to know how much we hurt and we're crying. And I know we need prayer. And I know we need love and secure. But my friend, God is a great God. Amen. And God knows it all. No matter how impossible the circumstances you must be facing today, no matter how difficult the task that you assume, no matter how long the journey is you're going through, a sickness or pain or maybe a loss of finances or problems in your home or heartache or blackness, and no doubt there are several people today sitting in this congregation, you're meeting a midnight experience. You're going through a crisis in your life. You got to make a decision. You need God's help. And I pray today that God will come to you in this message and through the Word of God to alleviate you and help you and stir your ship and your life closer to him, and you would bank up real near to your Lord, amen, and lay your head upon his breast like John did. So no matter how ferocious, my friend, the enemy may be, no matter how bleak the outlook may be in your life, no matter how hopeless, my friend, it may seem on the sea of storm, my friend, God is a great God, and God still can give you hope in your walk, amen, in this world, if you just make him great, amen, in your heart today. And you must do that by faith and giving yourself and relying upon him to bless you and execute his power in your life. And so here, my friend, for revival of the simple, precious truths of the Word of God. Amen. For revival of that. So I want you to see here today in verse number one, verse number three, that is, great is the Lord. Amen. We have a great, great God. Amen. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power. Greatness only belongs to God. No other man. God will not give his greatness to no man. Amen. Nobody can demonstrate the greatness like God. Amen. Don't limit God. Don't hold God back. My friend, to your praise or to your honor, to your obedience, your submission, your willingness, and your finances, and your giving, your serving, and whatever it may be, let God be great in the midst of that. And you can do that. And my friend, stand back. Take a step back sometime. I'll just step back sometime. And I'll say, God, I want to give my total attention to you. I want you to be great in my life. I stand back. I give you this place, this ground to stand in my life, Lord, to show me and follow you, God. You take control of all of my life and be great. Amen. So his greatness and greatly to be praised. And you can measure, I promise you this, you can measure in what angle or degree that God's great in your life accordingly and equally as you bless his name. Look at the Bible here. The Bible says, and greatly to be praised. Some way, somehow, you got to do that. You got to release that in your heart. And if God's great, you do that. And you stand back. You know, what do you say when you see a man like Dr. Herbie Sackler? Do you say, well, he's a man of meekness? Well, he was. Can you say that he, or would you say that he was a man of love? Yes, he was a man of love. Could you say he was a man of grace? And yes, he was. He was a man of faith. But the first thing when you look at a man like Dr. Herbie Sackler, like your pastor today, and other great leaders that God's given us, that was a great man, amen. You look at all about him, everything. He brings all of his personality, his work, and his love that has been poured into that greatness to distribute that. He's able to meet the needs of every cry of every soul if it would just respond in faith and believe in him. That's the greatness of God, amen. Then number two, my friend, that'll help you. If you just make God great in your life, I've had to do that many times in my life. When I left Tabernacle, Dr. Herbie Sackler said, Brother Caldwell, he said, don't you call me if you go to counsel. I said, what do you mean, Dr. Sackler? He said, now listen, I've taught you 4 years in Bible college. Now listen, I'm too busy now. Now he didn't mean to be smart. He meant to me, he knew where I was going to. And he knew. He preached to me and taught me. Then he released me and sent me out from a local church. My friend, he knew that I was in the hand of God. And I had to totally rely upon the Lord giving me the answers in my life as he sent me out. And I believe many men have never got a hold of that when they left America. They kept calling back and kept looking back and trying to find answers on the American side for the foreign side in the world. And so easily they get deceived and upset and discouraged and turn back and come back. That helped me. It laid close to my heart. Many times I reached for the phone and I said, no, not the cycle. I said, no. And my friend, the greatness is unmeasurable here and unsearchable here of the great God that was here. Nothing number two, verse number eight. The Lord is gracious. Number one, God's great. That'll help you. Then number two, it'll help you to realize and make you happy in your Christian life. The Lord is gracious. Amen. Gracious God that we have. Now, I don't buy this idea, and I don't buy this thing that God's a tyrant and God's mean and God slaps us around and God abuses his people. I don't believe that. I don't believe that in one moment, that God abuses the unsaved and God abuses his creation. We have a Lord is gracious, amen. Now, you get that deep in your heart and you just consume that in your heart real richly in the grace of God, it'll help you and give you a good positive outlook on life a little bit better. Amen. That God favors you and he's for you and he'll fight your battles. Amen. He won't turn his back on you. He won't give you up. Amen. He's a gracious God. Amen. Now, he's gracious in three ways in this verse. Number one, he's gracious in the fact that he's of full compassion. Everywhere in the Word of God, God deals with mankind, my friend, in our physical and also in our spiritual realm to make us happy, my friend, and great compassion. And the word is full here. Be ye filled with the Holy Ghost, my friend. Of his fullness have all ye received. The fullness of the Godhead body. Everywhere you find the word of God. I want my joy to be full in you. My friend, God wants to give his fullness to you and I today. That's the only way I can be happy. I cannot be happy with a half God, amen. And a full God, full compassion. And I need that compassion. I do, amen. I wonder sometimes. I get led astray a little bit sometimes. I'm glad, thank God, the Lord's always kept me from going too far, amen. Kept me on course. But I need that compassion, and I begin to slow down a little bit sometimes. Then number two here, the Bible says, slow to anger. Somebody said, I'm glad God's not a Baptist, amen. They get mad at you quicker than anybody, amen. And I've been in a few meetings where Baptists throw song books and use words that Gentiles will never use, and I kind of want to slip out sometime, go to an old, quiet, loving Presbyterian church in the Methodist church and stay over there for a few weeks. And them Baptists got right with God and got on the altar and got some love in the heart. And then I get back in the Baptist church, amen, in independent Baptist church, old-fashioned. I start shouting and praising God, serving God again. Amen right there, amen. But my friend, God's slow to anger. What an amazing thing about God, amen. I don't take that for granted. I don't take that as a license to press and push God. Amen. But I'm so glad that my God, he understands me in graciousness and love. He's slow to anger in my land. Let me quickly go on very quick. And then it says, he have great mercy. Oh, man, what the mercies of God still today. David says, let me fall in the hands of God, not in the hands of man. Amen. I look for the show mercies of David every day of my life. I look for those mercies of surround me and all of my weaknesses and my failure, that God will be there to help me, amen, and strengthen me when I begin to slow down and begin to question and hold back and recoil upon God sometime. I need God's mercy to help me, amen. Strengthen me, dear Lord, amen. We have a gracious God, amen. Then number three, we have the third time we see this capital L-O-R-D, and it's in verse 9. The Lord is good to all. Your pastor and I were talking a little bit before the service about several people in the world and unsaved, how God blessed them a long health up in the 90s, close to 100 years old, and unsaved religious people, just talking about how God works sometime. But here's a verse, I think sometime, that entangles many believers. They just can't get over this. They can't understand, they just cannot conceive that God is good to all men. I mean, you and I, we can't do that. I mean, humanly speaking, we just can't be good to all men. Now, my friend, we want to be. We try to be. We pray about it. But still, there's a rising up of debate and anger in our heart against people. Sometimes, certain people we just don't like, and we check them off. Say amen right there. And we don't have anything to do with it. Now, my friend, that's a hurtful thing in your life. Don't you do that. The Bible says that God is good to all men, therefore I'm to be good to all men, amen? Wherever you go, whoever you talk to, it doesn't matter. It be Saddam on the other side of the world, an enemy down the street, or somebody, a family member in your home, be good to them, amen? Amen, because God is a good God. God can't help to be good, amen, because the Bible says here, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works, amen. God just delights to have tender mercies over all of his works. Many won't turn to give thankfulness. Many won't recognize his goodness. None will overturn or define it's from God. I understand that. You say, well, because of that, they ought to be shuddered and set aside. No, my friend, not with God, amen. And it should not be with you and me also too, amen. I'm going to love them, and I'm going to do what I can to show the goodness of God as a witness, to display the God in heaven that I serve. Amen. Then number three here, the Bible here says, number three. Then number four, in verse number 14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall. Amen. I'm so glad, thank God, the Lord upholdeth when I begin to fall. Now, we're not going to argue today about who's backslid, who's failed, who's fall, or who's begin to fall. Or ain't it? That's not the deal. But all of us get heavy pressed sometimes. We begin to feel the weight of the world and sin and wrong and temptation all around us. And we begin to shudder a little bit. We begin to tilt a little bit. Begin to stand back and wobble on the axle, so to speak. And the Bible says, the Lord upholdeth, amen. Look at that word, upholdeth. There's a hold from up, amen, that holds you up, amen. Amen. There's an upholding to the people of God, amen. Amen. We look for horizontal. We look for earthly upholders and commissioners and keepers and motivators and keepers encouragement. My friend, the only thing keeps me from falling, ultimate falling, making a mess of my life like anybody else can, is the upholding. Amen. I wouldn't take anything for the upholding. Pull I have from heaven, thank God. Every once in a while, brother, through the day, I know God's there. Why? How do you know? The upholding in my life is just lifting me up, thank God, through the day, amen. I have to have it. I'd make the wrong turn in the road. I promise you that, amen. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, amen. Right, amen, he does. And all of us will to some degree along the way. Now, in verse number, that'll help you today and make you happy, thank God, amen. And some people today in this building, you may be falling. You may feel fallen. You may have a heavy press load today. You need this upholding. Then verse number 17, number 5, the Lord is righteous in all of his ways. You know, we had a missionary a couple years ago up in Canada, where they left Canada and came down into America and had three little children. And in Virginia, one time, the van turned over and killed a little five-year-old baby. Now, you just don't understand that Dr. Herbie Sackler, his daughter got killed in the front yard by a drunkard, came right across the yard and killed his daughter. He had to live with that every day of his life. You know, some of you today, you're living with some experiences of things in your life designed of heaven. And God's put that thing in your life, in your heart, in your way. And you'd like to exempt that thing. You'd like to wipe it out. You'd like to turn back the pages, so to speak. But you can't do it. Friend, I have things in my life, God knows, even right now. I cannot even share with you today the things that's happened to me. I don't mean to tell you wicked or sinful things. I don't mean immoral things. But I mean this things that's happened to me in my life that God's allowed in his great mystery somewhere of his working and plan to condition me to magnify himself in grace and mercy in his great maneuver in my life. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways. Amen. All that we can do is we stand back and we say, a righteous God has righteous ways. He's doing what seemeth good unto him. And my friend, if you can get a hold of that, if you can nail that down in your life, you'll go out here a happy camper. I promise you that. Amen. God is righteous in all of his ways. You serve God long enough, you're going to meet a head-on collision somewhere. It's going to be so devastating. God will help you, though. But some way seems like you just, that thing lives with you. And it does. And I don't know why, but God's righteous. Then again, to number 6 here, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. Now, beloved, today, if I didn't have any other verse, and I'm closing just a moment here. I got a couple more very quickly here. If I didn't have any other verse, this verse here about prayer in my life would secure my prayer life forever. The Bible says the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. Now, my friend, one of the biggest problems that you have and I have about our prayer life is we just don't know if God hears us or not. We doubt, or we fear, or we question, you know. Is our heart right? Are we prepared? Have we got into a spirit of prayer? All kinds of questions and everything. But my friend, the Bible says here that God is nigh unto all them that call upon him. Amen. Jesus is nigh. He's right there, amen, when you pray. When you get on your knees, when you bow your head, the Lord's there, amen. You don't have to search for him, seek for him, climb the heaven, to draw him down. No, God is there when you call upon him. He's nigh to your heart. That encourages me to pray more, excites me to pray more when I know that God is so close to me when I bow my head. Then in verse 20, the Lord preserveth all them that love him. Now, beloved, it's important that we know that we love God, amen. We know that God loves us. We know that without that love, my friend, he first loved us. We know that before we love God. But my friend, it's important that you know every day that you're loving God amply and faithfully and truly in your heart. And you ought to test yourself. You ought to examine yourself. How can a man love his brother in whom he has seen if you can't love your brother whom you have seen? How can you love a God in whom you have not seen? Could be problems or faults or failures in your life sometimes. And I test myself. Do I have any enemies? Do I have somebody I shun? Do I have anybody I don't want to look to? Anybody I can't smile and shake the hand? You know, I want to make sure that I love God. And my friend, it's very important, amen, to have a love of God. Then, my friend, then lastly, verse 23 here, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name. May we bow and may we stand to our feet. We want to give a moment of a time around the altar. And may we bow our heads. I want to pray. Could the musical players come? And we have the song leaders going to be coming to give us a song today. Your pastor's going to be here. Let's bow our heads. I want to pray with you today. Could be someone today in the building and say, Pastor, preacher, missionary, I have great physical needs in my life. And somewhere I just have not trusted the Lord. I just not have seen how God wants to make sure that my life is happy in my physical realm. And then in my spiritual walk, it's just not where it ought to be. It's just not what it ought to be. I don't have a prayer life. I don't study my Bible. I don't witness. I've lost my joy. Something in my life has encountered me, and I'm so depressed. And maybe you today, God's spoken to you some of these areas about the Lord in your life today, and you may want to come around the altar and pray. Father, we come to you and thank you again for the honor we have to be in this great church. And thank you, Lord, for this pastor, these people. May you speak to our hearts together and anoint the message to, right now in the call to respond in Jesus' name.